Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Rex Road okay? You all right, Joe?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I had the, you know, Solari had the shepherd's pie, too. I had the shepherd's pie. Solari says he's okay. So I don't know what's going on, but I will never have the shepherd's pie at O'Donohue's in Times Square ever again. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Thanks, man. You know, just steer clear of that, man. Come on. That's not a difficult decision. I feel for you, though. I hope you feel better, man.
I just love that he's in New York City, and the meal that he got was shepherd's pie.
I mean, come on, we're not laughing at your misfortune, but, you know, really, come on, man. There's got to be a slice somewhere around that could have done better for you.
Oh, don't talk about it right now. The only thing about slices right now.
Gosh, we've got a lot to get into with Charles today on the program. Charles, we were just talking about Cam Newton and the pro day that he had at Auburn the other day. What do you make of, obviously he didn't play last year, wasn't in the league. What do you make of Cam Newton, how he's viewed right now in the NFL, and I guess his attempt to get back in there and get back in the league?
Oh, man. How do I put this nicely? Two of the most desperate places you will see guys out of the league is Radio Row during Super Bowl week and then pro days. Like, it's the guys that pop up on Radio Row, it's always funny because you see people come through and you're like, you know, you just know once guys are in the stage of like hawking something, and you know, they're ex-players, they haven't been on a roster in a while, you're like, okay, yeah, it's definitely the end. Like, that guy's not going to be popping up on a team anytime soon. It's really over. And then I think for quarterbacks, it's when you see, you know, formerly great quarterbacks that are all of a sudden popping up at a pro day throwing to guys. And I, is there a spot anywhere in the league for Cam at this point? You know, realistically, no. I mean, maybe as a backup, you know, desperation situation, but I don't think anybody's looking at Cam right now and thinking that's somebody that can come in and, you know, meaningfully contribute to us. I mean, look at the 49ers. It's a good example. 49ers desperate for a quarterback at some point to get somebody in there because they just need to know we're going to have a warm body because we don't know what the injury situation, how it's going to unfold with Trey Lance and obviously Brock Purdy. And they go and get Sam Darnold. Okay. And I mean, is anyone really high on Sam Darnold, you know, and yet that's the guy that the 49ers reach out to, not a Cam Newton who has, you know, had a much higher level of success and experience and everything. I think it's over for Cam. That's what I would deduce from this at this stage. And, you know, it was an interesting development and attempt, but Cam's not going to make any kind of a realistic comeback in the NFL. I don't think anybody should expect that.
Okay, how about Odell Beckham Jr.?
That's an interesting one. Yeah, Odell is – it is cold sometimes out in the wilderness, man, when you're a free agent and you had high expectations for what your salary ceiling was going to be. And it's interesting because, you know, now this suggestion where he's like, I don't know where this $20 million number is coming from, APY, and I'm paraphrasing him here. And, you know, he kind of suggested that he's been offered $4 million a year, and he doesn't know where this $20 million a year figure is coming from. Well, I can tell him where it's coming from. It's coming from some of the teams that he spoke to, you know, in the process. They all seem to think that, you know, that was his salary target. Now, that might have changed dramatically in the last few weeks. But I think teams are looking at Odell Beckham Jr. and they're saying, this is a guy who his best years are, and, you know, fully healthy seasons and best years are, what, 7 years ago, 6 years ago? I mean, a long time ago. And he's had two knee injuries since. He had a flourish, obviously, with the Rams, where he was a you know, heavily used red zone guy and contested catch guy and had some success, but he gambled on himself and suffered a knee injury in Super Bowl, and that's sort of put him in a position now where I think he's probably staring at a series of 1 year contracts to finish up his career. And unless he can latch on somewhere with a prove it deal this year and really, really show, you know, convince a team that he's got, you know, 2 or 3 years left. What's interesting to me is I think Buffalo and when you look at Kansas City, they both need an Odell Beckham Jr. Both of them do. I mean, Buffalo's, they're dying for a number two option right now, a reliable number two who can really back up Stephon Diggs and take some pressure off of Josh Allen. And then I think, you know, Kansas City, their wide receiver position is looking a little more bleak now that Juju Smith-Schuster is in New England. So, two great quarterbacks, and I think Odell could do, you know, wonders playing for either of those teams. But at this point, the deal he's probably staring at, and I think this might be top end, might be like a $6 million base with a lot of incentives that potentially gets it to double figures in 2023. But wow, this is definitely not a player that I think has realized any bit of the hype kind of coming into what was sort of a tamped down free agency, and he was expected to be a bigger player than he really has developed into.
Charles, where do you think the Cowboys are right now? Obviously, you know, Zeke gets cut, gets released. They trade for Stephon Gilmore. We know what the expectations are around that place and the storyline with Dak and the turnovers all last season. What do you make of the position that they're in as they move forward here, and how close do you think they are to actually being a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, Zeke, it's interesting because Zeke Zeke was good last year for them rotationally, and that's really what he is. He's a rotational player. I think they knew that. They offered him the opportunity to stay if he would have reworked his deal and took a significant pay cut, knowing, hey, it's really going to be a two-man show. We're expecting that Tony Pollard's going to be back. He's going to be the lead back. But you're essentially a, you know, one half of a two-man backfield at this point. And, you know, to the Cowboys, that's probably less than half of what he was slated to make in 2023. But, you know, I think going to get Brandon Cooks, you know, you talk about trading for Stephon Gilmore, which is, you know, it's a quality move. It's not the Stephon Gilmore of like 3-4 years ago. We got to be clear about that. But I think he is a very good, solid corner for them at this stage. But to me, I think Brandon Cooks actually might be the best acquisition they've made this offseason, because they really need a number two receiver. That's ultimately what he's going to be for them. He's going to give them not only deep speed but experience. It pushes Michael Gallup to the number three spot, which he lost some confidence last year, and, you know, coming off of a knee injury and trying to bounce back in 2022 wasn't anything near where he, you know, thought he could be and the team thought he could be. But they really needed a very, very solid, capable number two receiver with some speed, and Cooks will be that for them. So that I think it kind of evens out the wide receiver position for Dak Prescott. But look, all in all, you know, I think that the NFC, interestingly to me, the AFC is loaded. It's very top heavy, but the NFC, you know, Philly and San Francisco are probably your two best teams in the NFC. But when you look at free agency and you kind of look at the losses of Philly, you look at the quarterback position in San Francisco, both of those, you could sit there and feel somewhat shaky about, you know, saying, hey, absolutely, these are going to be the top two teams in the NFC. Once you get past those two, though, good luck. I mean, like, you know, could Detroit be the third best team in the NFC this next season? Yeah, absolutely. Could Dallas be the sixth best team? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a total crapshoot, I think, once you get beyond the top two spots. And the one thing Dallas really has going for them is they've got, you know, defensive coach continuity with Dan Quinn. As you said, they added Gilmore, which is a good, solid piece. They added Cooks on offense, good, solid piece. And then now we have to see what does the play calling look like with Mike McCarthy. Obviously, you know, you see the change at OC and really the the play calling going in Mike McCarthy's hands. So I don't really know how to answer that other than just to say they got what they needed with the number two receiver on offense, and that should make Dak Prescott a little bit better next season.
You know, since it is pro day season, very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just talking about this, Charles. You know, the absolute people losing their minds because C.J. Stroud was making perfect throws on pro day at Ohio State. What is the value of a pro day from your perspective?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's not – I don't know. I think the throwing at the combine is more valuable than the pro day because typically pro days, you know, you've got a quarterback who's throwing to players they're more familiar with. There's a script that they've known. You know, it's like someone going in for an acting audition. They already, you know, they know what they're going there for. They've had a piece of paper in their hands. They know what to expect. Whereas the combine is a little bit different. You're throwing to unfamiliar players. There's at least some wild card aspect of the combine. The pro day is engineered for players to show their most perfect selves to NFL teams. So if anything, I would say that the value there is if a player comes out and stinks up their pro day, has a bad pro day, then, you know, there should be a little bit of alarm there because it's literally built for you to go out there and ace it. And if you don't, then teams are going to question that. I will tell you this, a lot of teams enjoy the ability to, you know, go into the pro day, maybe pick around the college programs a little bit. You know, you talk to the strength and conditioning coach, you go and you try and find other individuals that you might not normally have access to inside the program and pick their brains about a player and see if they screw up and give you a piece of information you didn't have. Now, again, that's also engineered to not happen, but I know it does happen at times. I've had, you know, GMs and scouts tell me you go to the weight room and you start talking to the training staff, you know, you start talking to the equipment staff, people like that, who, you know, normally you're not going to have a lot of access to, and sometimes you'll walk away with a piece of information. But I'm with you. I don't – this perfection of C.J. Stroud, which he has. He's looked so far, this whole process, he's done very well for himself. But, you know, all you do is hear, you know, teams complain about, you know, forget about the shorts Olympics. Let's go back to the tape and see where was the ball location when he was playing all these Big Ten teams, where, you know, what did he look like against Georgia, which actually is pretty good. That's why I would tell people, look, Carolina's not resolved who that number one pick's going to be yet. I think they're still working on that. And although Stroud's the betting favorite, that can shift before we get to the first pick of the draft. So let's just stay tuned.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. And Charles, we were discussing the Lamar Jackson situation yesterday. From a timeline perspective, you know, we're not that far away from the NFL draft right now. And Florio had the report at Pro Football Talk about apparently Lamar having some sort of representative that's not NFLPA certified contacting other teams. What do you make of where the Lamar Jackson situation is right now, the timeline in order to get this thing resolved, and maybe what the Ravens could be thinking as the NFL draft gets closer and closer?
I saw that the Titans hopped up in the gambling odds for his next team, which was weird. Yeah, that was interesting. That actually caught my attention because I have not heard anything, you know, kind of in the ether about them being real players for him. You know, in terms of where it's at, I mean, it's kind of in the same place it's always been. It's, you know, his asking price is what it is. Teams are not interested in that. You know, you got the report that comes out where, you know, Steve Bisciotti apparently was put off by the Deshaun Watson contract and, you know, allegedly created problems, you know, for the Ravens and what the situation is, you know, in terms of what Lamar Jackson wants. It's all the same things we've discussed before and that we know, and the difficulties that we're seeing right now when you talk about, well, geez, not, there's people that are not certified by the NFLPA that are, you know, reaching out and trying to do business for him in the background. This is why you have an agent. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's just the reality. And the process would be running more smoothly for him if he had hired an agent, if not necessarily for the trade, at least from the narrative standpoint, because a lot of us out here are asking questions to the Ravens or people that, you know Lamar, trying to get specific details. And, you know, he makes it sound like none of us know what we're talking about when it comes to the facts and figures of the deal and, you know, what the Ravens have or haven't offered. At one point, it was funny, and it underscored to me how stupid this process is. At one point, he tweets out something, I think he was referring to like Adam Schefter, and he says, you know, some kind of tweet where he's like, oh, I need an agent, but, you know, I got 3 years and $133 million guaranteed offered to me. And I was like, oh my God, like they offered him a 3-year fully guaranteed deal for $133. I called a guy who's right in the middle of the process with the team, and I'm like, is this real? And he just laughed. He's like, no. He's like, that's not correct. That was part of a 5-year deal. Yeah, 3 of the years were guaranteed for $133 million, but that wasn't the whole deal. Because had it been, I actually, in my mind, I would have said, well, that's actually a pretty decent offer by the Ravens. It's pretty close to 3 years and 150, a fully guaranteed deal that most everybody believes should have, you know, would have gotten that done, get him back to free agency. So Lamar Jackson literally tweeted out a suggestive message that made the Ravens look better than their position really was, trying to make a point about Adam Schefter's reporting, and he wasn't even like fully accurate about the deal that he was offered. That's how dumb this situation is. Like, you're just like, this is, it's just so stupid. And, you know, and the Ravens are just shrugging like, okay, like if you want to suggest that we actually offered you that and you turned it down, makes you look bad. it's like, how crazy is this? So look, the longer it goes, I think the more people start to understand where teams are coming at from this standpoint. The fact that Lamar Jackson's been injured 2 years straight, you know, has not played full seasons. He's very suggestive about all the time he missed to close out the season last year was because of a real significant injury. Okay, that doesn't help you. That doesn't make teams want to rush out and offer you more than $200 million guaranteed in a contract. He has a depreciating aspect of his game, which is running. No quarter. Guess what? Josh Allen, that's going to depreciate in Josh Allen's game, just like it depreciated in Cam Newton's, just like it'll depreciate with Deshaun Watson. Every other guy that wants to run as a quarterback, eventually after 5 or 6 years, that starts to slide pretty badly. There's reasons why this is going on the way it is right now, and it sucks for Lamar Jackson, and he's got the ability to be a great player. But this whole thing was mishandled by him and his mom and whoever else is advising him at this point, and that's too bad. So I don't even know how to tell you how this resolves itself at this point, because, you know, the Ravens are just sitting there going, you know, we don't think anybody's going to sign him to an offer sheet. We'd match it at this point. Teams aren't inclined to do their work for him. And, you know, if you ask me to gauge this out, I think maybe he just plays on the two tags and goes to free agency in 2 years. And it's a really awkward, crappy situation for Baltimore the next 2 years.
Charles, what's at stake? What's important here with the owners' meetings?
Look, the Aaron Rodgers trade has an opportunity to get some traction at the owners' meetings. You know, every all these decision makers get together, and you know, the impasse that's between the Jets and the Packers could kind of get resolved there. I think the issue they're at, the crossroads they're at. The Jets, from what I understand, really want to offer a package of picks that don't look immediately attractive when you see them, but have the ability to escalate in the 2024 draft. You know, like maybe there's an initial 2023 pick that's not that impressive, and then a 2024 pick that is potentially more impressive, but could graduate depending on what Aaron Rodgers accomplishes with the Jets in 2023. So let's say in 2023, this year, this draft, the Jets are offering some kind of middle round pick, third, fourth, whatever. And in 2024, potentially a third round pick that could be a second round pick, that could be a first round pick based on performance escalators, maybe how the team plays, you know, do you win the division? Do you win the AFC? You play in a Super Bowl, things like that. And the, you know, the Packers just straight up want, hey, give us a first round pick and we'll get this done. So I think that's one thing that'll get resolved. I think the Washington Commanders will probably hear more movement on the potential sale there. There seems to be indications that this is going to finally happen when you see the Snyders kind of clear out of the facility. You know, it feels like this is turning a corner. It's just who exactly are the buyers at the table, which is, there's still a lot of, lack of clarity, you know, from that standpoint. But, and then, you know, you'll hear from, I'm kind of curious to hear from some other owners. You know, Robert Kraft, I was there a year ago and I listened to Robert Kraft kind of criticize Bill Belichick. And, you know, I'm curious to hear what Robert Kraft has to say, you know, this year, you know, this time around, now that we've gone through an even tougher season for Belichick. So, I'm just looking forward to, you know, talking to some of these coaches and seeing the direction of the teams and then, you know, probably picking up a couple draft nuggets along the way.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. Charles, thanks for being with us as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Feel better, Joe.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll react to Charles coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.